Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to a wonderful woman that I have the pleasure of speaking with today. Her name is Jess Ward, and she is from Positively Jessica Ward, and we are going to talk all things mental, emotional health, the whole gauntlet of that. Jess, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Brooke, for this incredible opportunity, and I'm really excited for our conversation today.
I'm excited too. I think mental health is so stigmatized, and it's spoken about in a plethora of ways. How did you first get interested in it? Where does that initial fascination lie?
So I actually landed in mental health in a way that was from, I suppose, sharing my own personal experiences, so my own lived experience of mental health, but it actually happened quite organically. So I started writing online at the age of 13 in an online diary. And I did this because I didn't want to write in a written diary in case my parents found it. So at the time I wrote online about my battles with bullying, eating disorders, all different mental health experiences that I was going through. And I actually wrote online because I thought nobody would find it. Little did I know that the power of the internet, it would get found eventually. So I actually was writing online for years and years. And then it was a friend that said, Jess, what you're writing about online could really help some people. And I was thinking, this is quite cathartic for me to write about my own experiences, like a journal. So I thought, you know what? Yeah, I might give it a whirl because if it can help me, I'm sure it can help somebody else. And that's how it started. And I've kind of gone into several different career pathways in mental health, fashion, creative arts, all different areas. And now I've landed in mental health full time in my full time role, but also my part time role as a mental health awareness writer. So it's been one hell of a journey.
Oh my goodness. Awareness writer is the most incredible title. Because when we think of mental health, we think of a counselor or we think of a psychiatrist. But in your space and in your case, you're someone that's actually lived it. Like you said, it's lived in experience. It's clothing that you've actually worn, not just tried on. And that makes a big difference in terms of people feeling represented and included and able to come forward.
Absolutely. And the power of lived experience is so profound. I think it is something that more and more people are starting to understand. But essentially, it is just exactly how you said it is. I've walked in those footsteps and I'm showing other people who might be experiencing it for the first time what it's like, what to expect. Of course, I'm sharing online and creating this safe space to document how I turn my troubles into triumphs. That's what I say, is that every trouble that I encounter isn't a setback. It isn't a challenge. It's just a simple change in direction. And that could be me struggling with anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, whatever it is that I've experienced. It's just a trouble that I can turn into a triumph all through the power of lived experience.
Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend that you're reminding me of. And she worked at NASA, you know, very accomplished writer. And she lost her adult son in a very unexpected way. And she was going through so much profound grief, so much profound loss. And she had always had this dream since she was a little girl to write like a fictional novel. And so she said one day it was very hard. She sat down at her desk and started writing. And she realized as she began to, you know, click on the keyboard, just how much healing it brought to her soul. And I don't think we talk enough about how activities like writing, like dancing, like singing, like painting, heal your soul little by little by little and refill your cup, as you say.
Absolutely. And writing for me, so I have dyscalculia. So for the people that aren't aware, dyscalculia is something that I've struggled with my entire lifestyle. So it's a little bit like dyslexia in English, so where people struggle with grammatical errors and writing and things like that. I actually have it in numbers. So I really struggle with maths and numbers and numerical measures and things like that. Even saying it makes me cringe a little bit. For me, English was something that I had, I suppose, a natural talent in. And it was something that I felt really comfortable with. So that's why I always lent on it. And of course, I'm from such a creative background. So I studied fashion, I studied performing arts. And little did I know that all of these things were actually the big contributors that helped me through my mental health journey. And I didn't even know until now, later on in life, I can reflect upon those experiences and think, that's why I was gravitating towards those subjects in college, university, and in high school.
And with creative arts, with performing arts, that's a hard field. And it really builds up your mental fortitude, as I say quickly, because you hear a lot more no's than you hear yeses. How did that background contribute to your mental health journey, if it did at all?
I think for me, it contributed to my confidence in terms of confidence is something I've always struggled with. And a lot of the time, in many situations, I've had to act confident and no one will question it. It's more of acting confident and showing up, even if that means I have to lie down afterwards when I've kind of shown up and done that hard thing. But definitely looking back, performing arts was, for me, I had to embrace being uncomfortable. So getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Performing arts wasn't something that came natural to me. Although I'm a natural speaker and talker, it was really, really uncomfortable. And I've tried to apply that to several different activities and hobbies in my lifestyle. So now I've taken up martial arts. Although at the time I feel uncomfortable, in day-to-day life, I actually feel a lot more resilient and strong.
I love that. And there is a big tie between our day-to-day activities and mental health. What is your, in an ideal world, mental health routine? I'm curious. Because you're a writer, you do a lot of time sitting at your computer and probably have some of that writer's block as a writer, I know.
Yes, absolutely. For me, actually, my perfect mental health routine would actually be away from my desk, believe it or not, purely because my desk, I'm looking at it now, it's such a beautiful space, surrounded by colors, surrounded by my beautiful pictures of my grandma and my partner and crystals and all that magical stuff. But actually, it'd be away from my desk and away from tech and looking up. So when I talk about looking up, is actually being outside in nature, whether it's exercising, whether it's being with my partner and actually spending some quality time together, walking my dog, having some delicious food, probably just completely switching off and being somewhere else. But also that element of also mixing with loved ones, but then that element of solitude. For me, I find that when things get a little bit too much, I actually prefer to be on my own. So whether that's doing some coloring, some drawing, being outside, going swimming, as long as I'm as far away from technology as possible, just purely because my entire life is consumed with tech, for me, mental health is just stepping away from that.
You are so much like me. Have you heard of the term social batteries?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yes, I definitely have.
I have fragile social batteries. And a lot of times I will get like 10 calls a day and people want to jump on the Zoom meetings all the time and send me a bunch of messages. And it's like my social batteries are at a low for the day. And so many people have such varying degrees of social batteries that they can't envision or imagine someone not wanting to talk for 12 hours a day on the phone. I think that we do a disservice in our society to not mention social batteries because they are a huge part of mental health for me and for so many people I know.
Of course. And that is, for me, that's applicable in my professional life and also my personal life. So making sure that I'm setting boundaries in both. Because if I don't set boundaries, how do I expect others to respect my needs, wants, and requirements in my life, whether that's in my day-to-day career, or also even with my relationship with my partner, or whether it's actually my connection with my parents? I'm setting boundaries wherever I can, purely, Brooke, from what you said, is that social battery element, because I come across so many drainers in my life that drain my energy. So I have to fill up as much as I can, fill up my own cup at every given point. And before we joined this conversation, I said to you, Brooke, this was like a moment for me to fill up my cup, to have this conversation. So yeah, 100%. And I think it all comes down to boundary setting for me.
What is one of the most misunderstood things about boundaries, in your opinion?
One of the things that's is that you can set them at work. For me, for years, I always thought that setting boundaries at work made it almost as if I was incapable of doing the job, or that I was overwhelmed, or, oh gosh, if I set boundaries, will they think I'm struggling with my mental health and think I can't do my job because I'm struggling with my mental health? When actually setting boundaries is completely healthy in your personal and professional life. So just as you would maybe to protect your mental health, you need to cancel that plan with your friend, cancel the plan. And with work, I block out my diary. I say I only answer emails between the times of X, Y, and Z. And if someone says, Jess, are you free for a call? Can you send me an agenda? Because I'm not just free for a call. It's just really being quite mindful. And I think it is, I was so worried about work that I couldn't set these boundaries that now, for the first time ever in 2024, I'm setting boundaries and it's been absolutely game-changing for me.
Can you share a story of a time you either implemented a boundary or perhaps stopped people-pleasing? And it could be hard, but how that turned out and how that enriched your life?
For me, it has been with friends. So last year, I went through a chaotic house move. I had joined a new job. I'd started my new career. I was trying to balance so many different things and trying to spin lots of different plates. And something had to give at that moment in time. But as I was at that time, I was spinning all these plates, spreading myself far too thin. And with friends, something I've had to learn is to be honest with them. I've usually been like, I'm fine. Yeah, I'll meet up, when actually I'm exhausted and I'd rather just stay at home on my own in solitude or with my partner. And for me, being as honest as possible, and this is something my boyfriend's taught me, is to just be honest with your friends, because they will respect you for being honest and saying, look, I'm struggling, right?
Men are so good at just being honest about that, aren't they?
He's just so relaxed. And he was like, Jess, just be honest. Because I was like, I don't know how to cancel plans. I don't know how to let people down. And he's like, if you need to protect your mental health and you have to let someone down, then you let someone down. And in that given moment, I was completely honest with my friend and said, look, I have burnt the candle at both ends. I'm trying to juggle this with my new job. I'm trying to move house. I'm navigating a new relationship. Like, it's all an awful lot. And she said to me, thank you so much, Jess, for being so honest. Just message me when you're free. And it gave me freedom. So stopping that people pleasing, it actually enriched my life with freedom. The freedom to be like, oh, thank God for that. Like, that actually wasn't as hard as what I made it out to be in my own mind. I really made it this big thing, when actually my friend was just like, that's fine. Like, that's cool. You were honest. That's all I wanted.
Oh my goodness. And I think freedom is hard to come by, because we don't feel free. We feel shackled to our technology, like you mentioned before. And to have those moments of freedom is so enriching. It's so special to choose yourself. And one way that I choose myself, you're going to laugh at this, I am not a big Zoom person. So I'll be like, can you do a phone call? Can you do a phone call? Because I want to go on a walk while I talk, or I want to do this or that. And people will be like, why do you always want to do the 90s phone call? But to me, a 90s phone call represents an ability to move my body or get outside or whatever it is. And at first it really confused people. And I was like, I can't sit at a desk that many hours a day. It's not who I am. They're like, huh. And now I've got a group of people doing the same thing.
Yes. I mean, I probably spend far too many hours at my desk, Brooke. I must put my hand up and say I spend far too many hours at my desk purely because of the job that I do. But I would love to do that. And I do actually work with several people that do the same. They're like, just give me a call. I'm at the gym, or I'm in a coffee shop, or I'm going for a walk. And it saves that 45-minute meeting that can then be just succinct to 5 minutes. It's proactive and productive.
It's so much fun. And it can be a little switch. And that's where people get intimidated. Oh, I have to tell absolutely everyone that it's ever bothered me, no, or I have to backtrack for the past 10 years of what behaviors cross my boundaries. It doesn't have to be that. It can be a moment-to-moment, minute-by-minute, hey, this doesn't work for me anymore.
Agreed, Brooke. Agreed, yeah.
So in terms of you and your mental health journey, what is one thing that you're looking forward to in 2024? One thing that you're proactively doing now that's maybe new, that's a new concept or a new idea that's been helping and serving you a lot?
So it's strange that we actually spoke about boundaries, because that is one of my biggest goals for 2024. So not overworking and not glamorizing overworking. For me, I have come from an upbringing that, I suppose I'm from a very privileged upbringing, in the sense of both of my parents have worked really, really hard. We haven't had everything from my childhood. You know, we really, really struggled in the early days of my childhood. But my dad in particular has always worked really hard. No matter his salary per year, he always, always provided. And I'm definitely from that upbringing of always striving for the best, always wanting more, always being really passionate, the most passionate person in the room. you know, and always, you know, always trying hard. But actually, there is sometimes greater success in slowing down and resting and re-energizing and then proactively moving forward than just continuing in at 100 miles per hour. So in 2024, something that I cannot believe I'm even doing, because I am actually doing it really well, is finishing at the end of my working hour, unless I physically have to stay online at my work. So I work 9 to 5. At 5 p.m. after that, I switch off. I eat at regular times throughout the day. Again, these are all like boundaries and part of my mental health routine. But for me, it is this biggest part of boundary setting and really making sure that I am protecting my mental health and my physical health. And that all comes down to not overworking, because as soon as I overwork, everything else, my routine, my fitness, my wellness, everything else gets impacted. So I've now found that that's like the culprit for my poor mental health is when I overwork. And that doesn't have to be in my day job. That can be overworking at home when I'm tidying my apartment. It can be overworking on my blog and my mental health awareness writing. It can be all different areas. There has to be this balance. And I try to use that word in the best way, because I think it can be interpreted in so many different ways. But yeah, for 2024, it is setting them clear boundaries and knowing when it's time to switch off and step back, put my tools down and just sit in solitude and recharge.
On the subject of overworking, something that I think was glamorized is there's a lot of accounts on Instagram and they say like boss babe, grind, hustle, work harder. And they are for both men and women. You can find accounts like that for both men and women. And so many people will follow the accounts or will engage with their content in one way or another. And that is fed to them day after day after day, which just plays into the glamorization. It becomes the normal in their mind. It becomes the normal story that they tell themselves that, well, this is what this account says, or this is what other people say is quote unquote acceptable. Therefore, this is what I have to do. And that's a really scary mentality.
It is. And I think the pressure, exactly like what you said, Brooke, for males and females is just, you know, it is actually quite scary. For me, I've definitely felt that. I know that my partner's felt that. He works multiple jobs. He's up at 4 a.m. every single day trying to fit in his fitness routine and this and that. He's constantly juggling things and has such long hours and long days at work. And I think that does, an element of that comes from pressure. And the same with me is that element of, I suppose it's the societal standards that I almost feel like I have to fit in so that I am that boss babe or that I am successful. Whereas actually, looking at success and redefining success in a way that works for me, but is also attainable for me, has made me feel so much better. Because we can look at all these people on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube and TikTok, but actually, no matter how hard I try, I won't be that individual. I'm myself. I should play on my strengths and equally know my boundaries. And I've definitely grown up in that era of social media where there's that comparison as the thief of joy. And looking at that elements of comparison from a physical point of view, so actual my body image, but then also a professional standpoint. Again, it comes down to boundaries and managing our digital landscape and what we consume.
I've had so much fun. Tell me, I'm going to hit you with a really hard question. You're going to have to forgive me for it. What would be, if you were going to share 2 to 3 pieces of mental health advice for our viewership and for our audience, what would those 2 to 3 pieces of advice look like?
Okay, so one of the pieces of advice came to me more recently, actually, as I've become more comfortable with my body image and I suppose with my connection with self. And it was something I always heard at university, but now I wish I could tell my student self, if you wouldn't say it to a friend, don't say it to yourself. Because the way that I conduct the way I am in my professional life, my personal life, with my friends, I always think whenever I'm on my own, if I wouldn't say it to my friend, I'm not going to say it to myself. So those elements of, Jess, you're not worth it, or no, Jess, you're not good enough for that, or no, you should decline that because there's no chance, or no, that relationship won't work because they haven't worked before for you, Jess. I would never, ever say those things to a friend. So I will never, ever say them to myself. And that can be down, again, like I said, your professional life, your relationships, your body image, whatever it is, always speak to yourself with loving kindness, but in a way that works for you. So you might not want to read affirmations in the mirror. You might be like, absolutely not. I'm not reading that in front of the mirror. But it is just that element of when you feel that negative thought creep in, is, would I say that to my friend? No, I wouldn't. So I'm not going to say it to myself. And the other piece of advice would probably be, your body is the home that you live in. So you need to make it a nice place to live. So for me, I've struggled with my body image primarily from kind of secondary school age right through university. And I never made my body a nice place to be. From the outside, you might have thought, wow, Jess really like looks after herself. But actually, again, that element of that invisible mental health, you couldn't see what such a dark place it was. So now I work really hard to make sure that my body, my home, is a lovely place to be. Just like I would fluff up my cushions in my living room and I would stack my shelves behind me and I would dust the dust away and I would hoover. That's what I need to do in my mind and with my physical health. And there is that other element of, you don't have to reach breaking point to seek help. It's probably my final piece of advice, is that you don't have to be at breaking point. You don't have to be at your worst to seek help. Help is always available, like you said, Brooke, in whichever way it is, whether it's emergency helplines, whether it's resources online, whether it's reaching out to a friend or loved one. You don't have to wait until that crisis point hits to then pick up that phone or to send that text. You can actually reach out for help at any point. And I know that looks so different for so many different people, but I wish that those are the three things that I knew when I was at university.
Oh my goodness. Well, I love all three, but I love number two the most. It resonates, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I'm always reminding myself of those things all the time.
And it is. It's continuous. You have to keep trying. It's not something where you say it once and it's imprinted into your brain and ingrained and you'll never have to do it again. It's often a continuous thing.
Absolutely. And it's a commitment to yourself. It is that commitment of, you know, essentially, I am like my home. Like I said, I am the home. So it is that commitment to keep your home nice and happy and healthy. And that ebbs and flows, ups and downs all the time. You know, it's not kind of one smooth line, but it is that element of commitment to yourself.
Oh my goodness. I've had so much fun talking with you. Thank you for sharing your time and your energy and your resources. Before we sign off, is there anything else you want to share or say just as a little last parting word?
I would just love to say that if you are studying at the moment and if you're finding it really, really difficult, just know that it does get better. I am living proof that it does get better. And I know there's kind of sleepless nights, the stress, the anxiety that comes with studying and being a student. I do understand. And again, there's that element of, I wish somebody had just told me that it would get better and that it'll all pass and it'll all be okay. You've just got to ride that wave. So just hold on that little bit longer and I promise it will get better.
I love that. And Jess, if somebody wants to find you, they want to connect with you, perhaps read your writings, what's the best way to do that?
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm there every single day at Positively Jessica Ward. That's my handle. And my website, again, super simple, Brooke. It's www.positivelyjessicaward.com.
Oh my goodness, that's wonderful. You need to go connect with this incredible woman. And thank you so much for joining us on another episode. Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.